Why don't we pray, and then we will finish off this series. God, thank you for being good to us, for loving us. Thank you for your word and for speaking when we read it. And now, God, I pray that you would speak through your word that we read this morning. And God, I pray that you would help me to explain well. And I pray that as we read and as we think about what you have said, that you would draw our hearts to you and you would make us love you and know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the idea with this series has been that we know we need to change, but we can't make ourselves change. We can change things on the outside sometimes, but we can't change our desires and our thoughts sometimes, hardly ever. It's hard for us to change our thoughts. It's impossible to change our desires. It's impossible to change our feelings. And so if we're truly going to change who we are, that has to come from the inside out, and only God can change us. And as we've been coming to the end of this series, we've been looking at, okay, practically speaking, how do we collaborate with God as he changes us? What do I do when I see sin coming up in my life? And we've been looking at this idea that what we believe to be true about God is actually what drives our obedience or our sin. So if I believe that God is good and great and has everything in under control and he knows everything that's going to happen, when I leave here today and get in a car wreck, that's not going to be a surprise for him. Hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, won't be a surprise to him, be a surprise to me. If I truly believe that, no matter what happens, I'm going to react calmly and take it in stride, and I'm going to be the same happy person all the time. When I don't believe that truth about God, that he is great and good and has everything under control, I tend to worry and stress and freak out sometimes. So what we do is directly tied to what we believe to be true about God. And this is helpful because when I see sin come up in my life, instead of saying, okay, I shouldn't be that way, I shouldn't be that way, I'm a bad person, stop, which I don't know about you, that's not very effective for me. It just makes me focus on how bad I am, and it doesn't make me any better. But when I say, okay, what is underneath this sin? What is the thing that I'm not believing about God that is driving this? Oh, I'm irritated and frustrated and stressed out because I don't believe that God is sovereign. Because if I believe that, I would be reacting to life in a different way. So then I can change what I believe, and my actions will change. That's the message of Hebrews 11:6 or Romans 12:2. So the big truth about God that we're going to finish this series with is one of the best. They've all been good, but this is one of my favorite ones. It's that God is gracious. God is gracious. So how is that seen in my life when I truly believe that God is gracious? So I don't have to treat other people the way they deserve to be treated. God is gracious, so I can treat other people better than they deserve. God is gracious, so I don't have to treat other people the way they deserve to be treated. This is a truth that sets us free. Why does it set us free? Because we tend to live life, our natural instincts make us treat other people the way they deserve to be treated, and that ends up enslaving us and making us into bad, wicked, evil people. We treat other people the way they deserve to be treated, and that ends up changing and enslaving and corrupting and making us into bad people. We treat other people the way they deserve to be treated, but it doesn't start there. It doesn't start with us. It starts with other people. It starts with the way they treat us. See, in life, a fact of life, we're all, most of us, old enough to know, this is just the way it is. Other people, sooner or later, and normally sooner rather than later, and normally more often than not, will treat us poorly. Now, whether it's something very overt or whether it's just, you know, you find out that someone has been talking about you. You told someone something, and now they've been telling other people that thing. They're saying it, but they're talking about you, but in a way that is, it's not you. They're talking badly about you, and you find that out, and they're your friend, and people treat us badly. Or maybe it's verbal attacks. Maybe people tell us what they really think about us, but there's no grace with that truth. They just onslaught, and half of what they're saying is wrong, and we just feel the brunt of that. If that's happened to you, you know how that feels. Maybe we're insulted. Maybe as we're parking, or maybe you know our spouse, or maybe someone we don't know, or someone who's very close to us, they insult us and they say something horrible about who we are. Maybe it's something much more subtle. They just exclude us. People treat us poorly when, you know, they don't realize they're doing it. Maybe it's on purpose, but they invite everybody except us. Why would they do that? Am I not part of the group? Do they not like me? Or even worse, they ignore us, or they treat us with a lack of respect. They treat us not in the way that we think we deserve to be treated. Sometimes, and this is painful, people treat us poorly by leaving us, whether it's friends or spouses or in a church. People leave, and that whether they mean it to be that way or not, it feels like we're being treated badly. It doesn't feel good. Equally bad is when we need help, and no one helps us, and people know we need help, and people that we've helped before know we need help, and they haven't helped us. And you say, why would you not do that? It doesn't feel good when people take things away from us, when people make fun of us. And it's not just little kids that make fun of each other. Last week, as I was correcting my kids and some of their making fun of other kids, and then I started later in the day hearing myself talk to my friends. I'm really sarcastic and mean. I should have fewer friends than I have. We make fun of each other. Some people are violent. Whatever the case is, people treat us poorly a lot. Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it's perceived. Sometimes we just think they're treating us poorly, and they didn't realize, oh, I forgot to invite you. I meant to invite everybody. Didn't you get the invitation? But sometimes it's perceived. Sometimes it's real. But we are treated poorly all the time by other people. So what has been done to you? How have people treated you poorly? Maybe it's something small. They just slighted you a little bit. Or maybe it's something really, really big, and it happened a long time ago, and you just still feel it like it was yesterday. How have you been treated poorly, and who has treated you poorly in your life? Now, as we're treated poorly, what comes up in us naturally? I've been treated bad. I'm going to give them what they deserve. Now, this could be two little kids, and one does something to the other, and the other slugs him and eat immediately. But we're normally not quite that open and honest with our giving other people what they deserve. But you know, a lot of our gossiping and talking bad about other people behind their backs has to do with, why would we do that to them? Because they've been mean to me. I feel slighted by them. I feel bad about them. They've done something to me, and so now I'm talking about them, even repeating the offense over and over and over again. You know what they did to me? Now, okay, is that really gossip? Well, of course not, because it's something they did to me, so it's my story. I'm saying what happened to me, but I'm telling you and you and you and you and you what they did to me. They didn't do anything. What they did to me, and I'm really just running them down to everybody. That I'm treating them poorly. I'm giving them what I think they deserve. When we're treated poorly, we think that's an excuse that justifies treating them the same way they treated us. We feel like we have permission to treat them a little worse than we normally would. In fact, sometimes we feel like we have the responsibility to treat them bad. Have you ever done something to somebody to teach them a lesson? See, we all have. We don't want to say it in church, but we have. And that's just the way we're wired. And whether it's like, I don't talk to that person anymore. I avoid them if I see them in the store. I sit on the other side of the aisle from them at church. I don't like them anymore. Or whether it's, I'm not going to invite them to my party because they didn't invite me to their party. Or whether it's we insult them to their face, or we get in arguments with them. Or whether it's we go around behind their back. See church people, we're more subtle in how we do this. Yeah, I may not get in a fight with you and yell at you when I see you, but I'm going to go around and try to take your friends away from you and make them my friends. We're subtle about it, but we treat other people the way we think they deserve to be treated. When we're treated poorly, we treat other people poorly. We try to get them into trouble. We try to take something away from them. Sometimes it's even just as passive-aggressive as, I could do something good for you, but you were mean to me, so I'm not going to do that. Is that really wrong? Well, no, I just don't have time, and really, I'm giving you what I think you deserve. We treat other people the way we think they deserve to be treated. So what are the things that you do to people to get them back for how they've treated you? How do you do that? See, whatever it is, that ends up enslaving us. How we've been treated, and how we then start treating other people, It enslaves us. It creates this vicious cycle. It creates this vicious cycle of you treated me bad, now I'm going to treat you bad, and then you're going to treat me bad because I was treating you bad, and you don't remember that you were the one who started it, but you were, and now you're treating me bad, and so I'm just, and it creates a cycle where you can't really get out of that cycle, and it's horrible in friendships, because they're not friendships anymore when that starts. It's the worst thing that could happen in a marriage, and it happens all the time in marriages. It happens in churches. It happens anytime you put people next to each other. It enslaves us. You treat me badly, and I'm going to treat you badly, and it makes us be bad people. But when I start treating you the way I think you deserve to be treated because of how I think you treated me, I become a bad person. It brings out the bad in me. It brings out things that I would tell my kids, never do that, don't say that, don't treat that person that way. You should be nicer to them. But I'm doing those same things to other people. Why? Because I'm giving them back what I think they deserve. And actually, I feel pretty justified in it. It makes us bad people. It changes who we are. It makes us cynical. We get to the point where sometimes people do good things and we say, wait a second, what's really going on here? What's really going on? What do they really mean by that? We become cynical. We become people that we never would want to be, full of pride, full of bitterness. There's probably a name that I could say, and I don't know you, so I don't know who it is, but I know that we're all alike in this. There's probably a name I could say, and it would bring up a rush of just, ugh, inside of you. And now you're thinking about that person, so now you're looking at me like you're mad at me. It's not me, it's them. Because we have bitterness towards people who have treated us poorly. It enslaves us. It changes us. We end up with people that we avoid, and we end up treating people in a way that we would never want to be treated. And the truth that sets us free, the truth that sets us free from treating other people the way we think they deserve to be treated because of how they've treated us, that in fact enslaves us and changes us and makes us bad people, the truth that sets us free is that God is gracious. God is gracious. How I should treat you doesn't start with how I should treat you. It doesn't even start with how you've treated me. It starts with how God has treated me. God is gracious. What does gracious mean? It means that He gives grace to His children. What is grace? It's undeserved favor, goodness. God is good to me, and I don't deserve it. And how I should treat you starts with that reality, that God is good to me. Look at Colossians chapter 2. We're just going to look at two verses. The whole chapter is the whole book is excellent, but just two verses because of time. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. You were dead in your trespasses. You and I deserved God's wrath. Why did we deserve God's wrath? Because we have rebelled against and offended the King of the universe. The King of the universe has said, yeah, I made you in my image to reflect my glory. Now live the way that I have said that you should live because you're like me. You're made in my image to show what I am like. Live this way. I made you. I can tell you how to live. And we say, I want to be my own God. I want to be the person who tells me what to do. I don't want you to tell me what to do. And so we make our own rules. We live our own way. And for that, those are called trespasses. Those are called offenses against the King of the universe. And because we've offended the King of the universe, we are dead. Spiritually, we deserve His wrath, and He has promised, you will receive my wrath. But then He says, He made us alive in Christ. Not we came alive in Christ or we came to God. He made us alive in Christ. That's something we didn't deserve. We had offended Him gravely, worse than anyone will ever offend you or I. Worse than anyone will ever treat you or I. We have treated God worse than that. And God says, now I'm going to actually make you alive. He makes us alive. We don't deserve that. He makes us alive because He makes us new on the inside. And He makes us alive because He puts His Spirit inside of us. And He makes us alive because He puts us in His family as His dearly beloved, forgiven, adopted children. God makes people who have offended Him gravely alive. He makes us new, and it's a gift. He gave us life. This is not something that we did. It's not because we became better or we changed. It's not because we gave him something and so he said, okay, you've treated me badly, but then you made up for it, so now I'm going to... He gave us life. He made us alive. With him? Who's the with him? With Christ. What does that mean, with Christ? Well, it's with Christ in that God made us alive with Christ. So with Christ in the sense that we are now sharing in the same family as Jesus. We have the life that Jesus has. We are God's children, like Jesus is God's son. We're not deity, but we're family of God. We're his children. And with Christ, he made us alive. That also means through Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, because he took our sin, our offenses against the Father, and paid the penalty for that. So through Christ, we are now able to be God's children, and we're forgiven. Look what he says. He's forgiven us. Forgiven. What does that mean? Forgiven. Canceling the record of debt. It wasn't like we came to God and said, I'll be a better person and put on a clean shirt and go to church on Sunday. Will that make you happy? And he said, okay, that's fine. We'll be okay now. That makes up for what you did. No. We've offended God in the past. We've offended God today. We will offend God tomorrow if we live tomorrow. And God says, I'm going to forgive that. I'm going to cancel that. When something is canceled, it's not because you paid the debt off at the bank and you got to the end and there was a zero there because you paid it off. And they said, now it's canceled. No, that's paid off. God canceled it. He forgave it. It's when you go to the bank and they say, well, you haven't paid anything and we're just going to put a zero here. That never happens. But if that were to happen, that would be forgiven. That would be canceled. It's you owe me a lot and now you owe me nothing because I have put a zero where your debt used to be. And it's not because of what we've done. It's because God put that on the cross. And when Jesus suffered and died and was separated from his Father, he was being killed in our place. He took what we deserved on himself. And so God can now justly forgive us and give us what we don't deserve. We've rebelled against and offended the King of the universe. And what does he say? You could be my children. I will take all of your offense and put it on my son, and he will die in your place. I will treat him poorly because you've treated me poorly. And now I will treat you well in spite of the fact that you have treated me very poorly. That is grace. That's what God has done to us. And then, turn a corner here, he expects, in fact, he demands that his children treat other people the same way. So how I'm supposed to treat you, how you're supposed to treat me, how I'm supposed to treat my wife and children and parents and the people that I'm friends with and work with and the people in my church, the way I'm supposed to treat other people doesn't start with me, doesn't start with them. It starts with how God has treated me. I've treated him poorly. He treats me much better than I deserve, immeasurably better than I deserve. And then he says, now I expect you to treat other people the same way. They offended you? Yes. Do they talk bad about you? Yes. Are they mean to you? Yes. Do they take and never give? Yes. It's horrible. People are horrible. God says, I know. I know because people are horrible to me. And here's what I expect you to do. If you've received my forgiveness and my grace, I expect you to forgive and cancel the debt and put a big zero there in the debt that when someone treats you poorly, not go back and forth and you treated me bad, so I'm going to treat you bad, and then they're going to treat you bad, but cancel the debt. Treat them like it never happened. Treat them so well that other people look and say, whoa. People who know what happened say, whoa, how is that possible? You are so good to them, and they're really mean to you. That doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be. What are they going to learn? Have you ever heard that? What are they going to learn? How are they going to learn how they should treat you if you don't? If you can't treat them nicely the way after they've treated you in that way. Sometimes you hear that when people are giving marriage advice. Sometimes you hear that when people are giving friend advice. Sometimes you hear that in the church when they're just taking. You can't treat people. You can't let them treat you that way. It's giving them what they don't deserve. And you say, but that's impossible. I know myself. It's Sunday. I have a nice shirt on. I'm in church. Okay, I can nod and say yes and maybe even, you know, amen that, but I can't do that. I can't treat people that way. That's just not in me. We know ourselves. So how can we treat people in that way? How can we give them what they don't deserve? How can we treat people better than they deserve when they treat us poorly? And why should we do that? God said the reason you should do that is because of what I've given you. And the way you do it is by giving what I have given to you already. And I've been saying a lot with this. God says that we should do this. God says, and hopefully you picked up on that and said, wait a second. In Colossians 2, God isn't saying that. You're saying God says, and you're not bringing that out of the Bible, so hopefully your spiritual radar is on, and you say, blah, blah, blah. You can't say God says if you don't read it in the text. So let's read it in the text. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 21. No matter how true or right something sounds, whether it's here, whether it's on the radio, or don't watch preachers on TV, wherever you hear someone say, this is what God really wants, this is what God says, no matter how true or right it sounds, if there is not Bible underneath it, and if it's not coming up out of the text, don't believe it. Only go from what the text says. So look at what Jesus says when he's talking to Peter about this same topic. In Matthew 18, verse 21, so Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? So you could tell Peter is actually, he's been around Jesus. Because normally you say, hey, I offend you, and so what's the reaction? Well, then you're going to mess with me, and it's not seven times. You don't even get one time. That's just the way we're wired. But Peter has been around Jesus. He's heard, if someone hits you on one cheek, give them the other cheek, and treat you, love your enemies. And so he's heard this, and he said, okay, maybe I don't get to treat people the way they deserve if I follow Jesus. And so he says, okay, how long does that go, Jesus? How long does that go for? When do I get to start treating people the way they deserve to be treated? Because some people are really bad, and I can see letting things slide and treating people better than they deserve when it's once or twice, but when it's over and over and over and over, how long does that go? When do I get to start treating people the way they actually deserve to be treated? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Probably using exaggeration to say there's no limit to it. You can't keep count of how many times someone treats you poorly and then you're supposed to treat them better than they deserve. There's no way to keep track of that. You're just always supposed to do that. And then he tells a story to explain why. And the why is exactly what we've been saying. God has treated you so good in spite of the way you've treated him. That's how you're supposed to treat other people. And so, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. So by saying the kingdom of heaven, immediately Jesus is saying, this is the way it is in my kingdom. In other words, if you have not entered the kingdom of God, if you've never made the decision to repent and be baptized as an adult, made your own decision to follow Jesus, then this is a good day for you. Jesus isn't saying this applies to you. You get an escape out on this one. At the same time, by seeing what Jesus is saying that it's like in his kingdom, he's saying, when you make your decision to repent and be baptized, this is how I will expect you to treat other people. So if you have made your decision to repent and be baptized and follow Jesus, and you said, Jesus is my Lord, this is not optional. This is the way we have to treat other people when they treat us poorly. So, continuing, verse 24. The king going to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought before him who owed him 10,000 talents. In my Spanish Bible, there's a little note. I think this is right. It says 216 tons of silver. Again, I think he's exaggerating. No one could ever owe that much. I think he's exaggerating to say he owed him so much, more than he could ever pay back. The way we have offended the king of the universe, and there is no way that you and I could ever pay God back or be good enough to make up for the times in the past when we've rebelled against him. There's no way that we could ever pay that one back. That's what he's saying. There was an unpayable amount, the same way that in us and God, there's no way that we could pay God back what we owe him. Verse 25, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. That was the just payment for debt in those times. And Jesus is saying, by example, by analogy, he's saying, and that is what we deserve from God. We deserve to eternal death. We deserve to be punished for eternity by the King of the universe because we've offended him, and we have offended him in such a way that we will never be able to pay it back. Verse 26, so the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Isn't that what we do when we come to God? If you come to God and you say, God, I've done this and this and this, so now can I come in? That's not how we come to God. We come to God and say, no way I can pay it back. I've offended you. Please, would you forgive me and love me and take me? And that's conversion. That's someone submitting to Jesus. That's someone who says, I understand how it works. They come and they say, God, take me. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave the debt. Now that sounds like Colossians, doesn't it? He put a zero where there were 216 tons of silver. He put a zero there without the guy doing anything other than saying, have mercy on me. That's what God does for us when he chooses us and forgives us and puts his spirit in us and adopts us when he makes us his children. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. It's a very small amount. Again, there's exaggeration going on. Huge amount was owed to the master. Small amount was owed to the servant. Small amount. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. That's what we do when we treat other people the way they deserve to be treated. This guy was owed something. Did he have the right to grab the guy and say, listen, you owe me something. You're delinquent on your debt. You messed with me. You treated me poorly. I have the right to treat you poorly. That's the law of the jungle. That's the way the world works. That he had the right to do that. So when his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. And that's what everybody wants. We all want to be treated the way we don't deserve. We all want to be treated better than what we deserve. That's why we say, honey, would you just give me another chance? I promise I won't be like that in the future. That's why we say to our friends, I'm not really like that. That's why we say, I didn't mean that. Didn't realize you were listening. No. What I meant to say was, please, don't treat me the way. I was really busy and I was frustrated, and that's why I cut in front of you, and I'm sorry. We're saying, don't treat me the way that I deserve to be treated. No one wants to be treated the way they deserve to be treated. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. See, he gave him what he deserved, and he had every right to do that. He treated the guy the way he deserved to be treated. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed and went and reported to their master all that had taken place. So they saw the guy getting forgiven of this huge debt, and then they saw him giving the other guy what he deserved. And they said, that's not right. And even though the guy was justified in what he did, listen, when you and I treat people the way they deserve to be treated, compared to the way God's treated us, that's not right. When you and I have been forgiven of everything we've done against the King of the universe, and then my wife snubs me or says something to me, and then I say snap back, and then she snaps back, and then I snap back, and that's not right. When I'm frustrated and I get mad at you because you do something to me, and that's not right compared to the way God has treated me. It's not right because I've been given so much. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. When God comes and says, you're not treating people right, when the Holy Spirit pricks your conscience and says, you weren't nice to that person. Yeah, but they were mean to me and they did this and then they cut me off and then I was, and you said, God doesn't say, gotta treat them better. God comes and what does he do? Reminds us of how much he's given us. That's what this morning is. It's not saying you got to treat people good. It's saying, think about how much God has given us. That's what the master does. He comes and says, I forgave you everything. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? That's the God said part in the application. God says, the way I treated you is the way you should treat other people. Not give them what they deserve. You have every right to do that. but I forgave you so much. I gave you what you didn't deserve after you treated me poorly. You should give that same treatment to other people. You should give them what they don't deserve. You should treat them better than they deserve. God is gracious. We should treat people better than they deserve. And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. We're seeing Jesus is giving us a window into God when his children, when you and I, if we follow Jesus, listen, if we say Jesus is Lord and we've received grace from God and forgiveness, when we treat people the way they deserve to be treated and we can tell our friends, no, I did that. Why'd you do that? Why did that? Because she did that. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, you're right. Listen. When we treat people the way they deserve to be treated, Jesus is giving us a window into God, into God's heart, into his reaction. Furious. I forgave you for so much. How dare you treat that person the way they deserve? Can't you give them a little bit of the grace that I gave you? Can't you give them a little bit of the forgiveness and love and compassion that I gave you? Furious. And then the last part, it's very chilling how this thing ends. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus says we lose God's grace when we don't pass God's grace on to other people. When I receive from God goodness that I don't deserve, and then I treat you the way you deserve, Jesus says, my Father removes his grace from you. That's sobering. I don't have a theology built around that. I don't know how that works with the whole thing of, you know, losing salvation. I don't know how that works. All I know is Jesus said, listen, when you treat people the way you deserve, they deserve, after you've been treated in a way you don't deserve from my Father, he starts treating you the way you deserve. I don't want that. I really don't want that. You don't want that. So what should we do? We should treat people the way that we've been treated by God. We should treat people better than they deserve. Because they deserve it? No. Because we've been treated better than we deserve. So what should we do? What's the application? We should receive and give grace. We should receive and give grace. We should receive the grace of God, which means if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, if you haven't repented and been baptized, you have not received God's grace. You haven't received his love and favor. You are not his child. But by making that decision and saying, I will follow Jesus and repenting, and then being baptized, by making that decision, you enter into God's grace. You become God's child. He puts his spirit in you. He forgives you of your sins. It's incredible. You receive God's grace. And then if you say, well, I've received God's grace, but I just don't feel that when I'm with other people. Okay. You have to keep receiving God's grace. What I mean by that primarily is you have to realize what you've received. You have to think for a minute, wait a second. Well, we should regularly think about what we deserve from God. I deserve death. I'm a bad person. A lot of times Christians focus on how good we're becoming. We should focus. We should remember how much evil was in our heart and how much evil still is in our hearts, because that makes us realize how good God is to us and how much he loves us and how we have received a much better treatment from him than we could ever deserve. If you are God's child, you should regularly meditate on how wicked you are and how good God is to you. That's the grace that you have received and are receiving. We receive God's grace and then we give God's grace. That means we forgive people. When people are bad, evil to us, we put a zero. We cancel the debt. We treat them better than they deserve. We don't treat them the way they deserve. And Jesus said, from the what? From the heart. It's not okay. I'm going to sit on the other side. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to avoid you, but we're good. We're good. We're good. No, that's not from the heart. From the heart. So when someone offends me and then their name comes up in the future, I see them, I don't instantly feel a surge of, no, from the heart, we give God's grace. So let me just end with a question, and I apologize beforehand because this is not a fun question, but if you're God's child, who's a person who's offended you? Who's a person who, when you think about them, you feel that on the inside, everything tightens up? What would it mean for you to treat them better than they deserve? What would it mean for you to forgive them from your heart? How can you do that? How can you give them the grace you've been given? Your Father expects you to do that. Receive and give the grace of God. Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we will sing together. God, we come to you right now, and we thank you because you are good, because you love us, God, I pray that you would just help us realize how incredible what you have done for us and what you will do for those who have not made their decision to follow you, how incredible that is. You take wicked people who live offending you, and you make them your children, and you forgive them. And God, I pray that you would bring that to our mind every time someone treats us poorly, every time we're offended by someone, that we would bring, you would bring that grace to our mind, and we would be able to give them the same grace that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray.